Our planning group wanted as many diverse voices as possible to share about their experience in DA. This resulted from the work of the World Service Conference's Subcommittee, Underserved and Underrepresented Outreach Committee, UUOC. We will open with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept
Serenity,
the things
except the things I
I
cannot
cannot change,
change.
courage
Courage
to
change
change
the
the
things we
things I
can,
can,
and
the
wisdom
belief
to know the
to know the
difference.
difference. The only requirement for DA membership is desire to stop incurring unsecured debt, Tradition 3. All are welcome, and that is the reason we encourage all DA groups to include the inclusivity statement in their scripts. The statement, which is on our website, is: whatever your story, you are welcome in DA in Debtors Anonymous. Here, we celebrate the diverse experiences of all identities, embracing members of every race, ethnicity, nationality, gender, sexual orientation, age, physical or mental ability, socioeconomic status, religion, spirituality, or philosophy. Our various experiences benefit our recovery. We encourage members to value our differences and work together for an inclusive, welcoming fellowship in DA. It is my pleasure now to introduce our roundtable of speakers. As in DA meetings, all speakers will state their names before they share, and in DA, we avoid crosstalk for safety reasons. This means we share from the I perspective. We do not comment, give advice, criticize, or evaluate another person on their share. When people are sharing, we do not call out, make comments, or jokes, but rather listen with care and with respect. Our speakers are Camilla, Darlena, Dion, Jen, Kim, Ahava, Richard, Sharon, and Sandra. Now, the first question that I will pose to our group is: what fears did you have when you first came into DA? And has the fear of being unhoused ever been one of those fears? Please come on in.
Yes, I will address this question. And when I was 10, my mother had not paid our mortgage, and she was, a compulsive gambler. And of course, she was going to win all this money, and then she'd make all the back payments. And so, before the sheriff came to put us out of the house, we snuck off in the middle of the night like some thieves. And I remember that because in our neighborhood, it was like four different quadrants, and we had lived in like the most affluent or upper quadrant. And all of a sudden, we had moved to another quadrant, and I wasn't allowed to play with the girls in my neighborhood that I had grown up with anymore because I was now low income, or I lived in a different type of house. And so that impacted me all through high school in terms of interacting or having all of my early years with people whose parents went to college and who planned on college and who had some affluence and was very social structured. And so so they treated me differently. And so I did not want that to be a part of my adult life. I did not want that to be a part of my children's life. And so essentially, every time I moved, I made sure that I got the best bargain possible. I made sure when I bought a house that if I was laid off, I checked how much I would get for unemployment so that I would be able to pay my mortgage so my children would never have that experience. And it took up a lot of space in my head. It was not a realistic fear, and it never has been. But I have two houses, and one of them is paid off. So if I ever lose the one that has a mortgage, I'll have someplace else to live. And that's how it impacts your life when you are and we weren't unhoused. We just, we moved to a smaller house in a poor area, and never felt like we fit in
One
to
minute.
that community. Thank you. And so I realize that even at this age is something that I think about in terms of my retirement, making sure that I have enough, making sure that I have a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G in case anything goes wrong, that I will have some kind of economic stability. So I never aspired to have a lot because I just wanted to be able to keep what I had. And that was kind of my under-earning, my underbeing, and my scarcity mindset and mentality. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for being a part of my recovery.
Thank you so much for your share, Darlene. You are heard and you are supported. Kim, please come on in.
Sure. I would like to say that I'm Kim, and I'm a compulsive debtor. I'm loved and accepted as I am. I make mistakes. It's okay. It's how I learn and grow. And that I'm human, and my sponsors say I have to say that before I share in any meeting. So I've got that out of the way. She says, I have to say, she said to say it. I was redlined in Boston. I went there to go to graduate school, and it was time to choose a place to live. And I was told by the real estate agent that I shouldn't try to live in Brookline because they would tell me that the apartment was open, and then when they found that I was black, they would tell me that it had been rented. So that was my experience, and I think it's not so much for me a matter of being unhoused as housing insecurity, like the fear of having the electricity turned off. Or I wanted to rent in Seattle, and there's a wonderful condo that I was looking at. However, there was this smell of marijuana, and that's not something that I can live in the same building with. And also, there was a beautiful park next door. However, at night, it wasn't safe. So I think, and the other thing was when I moved to Seattle, I was able to call and say, my name is, and I had a couple of letters behind my name. Can you tell me where's a good neighborhood to go for schools? And what I was told was a list by the school department. And what I was told was a list of schools that what neighborhood I should live in so that I could get the teachers that really wanted to be in the schools. And again, there was redlining. It wasn't something that was talked about, but because of the two letters, and they couldn't see me, and I didn't sound the way I could sound, they gave me the real deal. So those are the two things. The fear of the housing insecurity. I'm living here in Ghana now. And that had to do with where am I safest or safer? So that's what I'd like to share on that. And another thing is that DA has given me the
One minute, Kim.
ability. Thank you. DA has given me the ability to envision owning my own home as I work through the fears of the early trauma. Of growing up in the poverty and thinking that I couldn't manage my own business. Pass.
Thank you so much for your share, Kim. You are heard and you're supported. Camilla, please come on in.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Francis. I'm Camilla, a debtor, and I grew up in a combination of neglect and privilege. My mother's ex-boyfriend lived with us. He was unhoused. He lived in his car, and she let him live with us. And she would go and get unemployment and then give it to him. My debting is very wrapped up with codependency and some even like love addiction and things like that. Our house was the one, my father was a professor, yet my parents separated and divorced. Ours was the house that would get signs from the county about we need to clean up the yard, we'd have mice and this and that. And yet I also was. But my grandmother paid for me to go to ballet classes and I got good grades and I went to college. So that's the privilege part. So, what that did for me is kind of this sort of on the outside looking a certain way and then inside all these secrets and hiding. And just the unhoused things, it wasn't until I was in underserved, underrepresented outreach committee that I I live in Mexico, and I moved here, left my job to live with my husband, left my job, my family, my apartment, my car, and moved down with a 5-month-old. And I was dependent on my husband for income. And at times when we would fight, he would say, "Get out of that my house," or something. And at some point, I actually did. It's like the economic dependence is one step sometimes away from being unhoused. And so at one point, I just
The next
took,
one.
thank you. I live with my daughter in a friend's house in her room. And I have to say, since then, because of this program, I was able to get myself a little trailer. My husband and I are now in Recovery Couples Anonymous. We have sponsors. We work on a relationship. I'm keeping that trailer, so I'm not afraid. And I use it as a little getaway or a respite or an office. And that's because of this program. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your share, Camilla. You are heard and you are supported. Dion, please come on in.
Hi there. Thank you. My name is Dion. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive debtor and a compulsive under earner. It's great to be here with everybody and welcome to everybody. And thank you, Francis, for your hosting and for Karen, the overall host that helped us get into here. It's very helpful what she did. I was, the attitudes that I grew up with and my disease around money and having and earning led me to be homeless when I was 17. I ran away from home. I said, I'm out of here. And it was the right thing to do, but it was a difficult thing to do. And it was the right thing to do because the environment at home was not good. And it was a challenging thing to do because it knit up with my compulsive under-earning and my compulsive debting. And I just felt like I belonged out there on the streets. And I lived in a vehicle with a 75-year-old dude for 2 weeks. And I hitchhiked and I was panhandling on the streets. I ran, I ran away from home, 2,900 miles away from home to go and try to be a star somewhere, And that was at 17, like I said, and funny thing, here's one funny thing is I came back home, stayed for a little while, couldn't, and joined the army. When we were in the army, I was like, I thought I was solving something. We slept outside in the army almost more than when I was homeless. And I was like, oh, that's what I get for not researching, I didn't do any research. I was getting myself into, but that's all part of me with this way of being. When I'm in the disease, I'm just here and then I'm there. Growing up in a trailer, 66 foot
1 minute,
long,
Dion.
thank you so much, 66 foot long, 14 foot wide trailer, there's literally no foundation. And I was an overweight kid, compulsive eater. If I bounced through and my mom would be like, you're shaking the whole goddamn house. And she'd say house. And I'd say, Mom, it's not a house. And I would try to be funny or whatever. So now, age 56, I have a family. I'm not under earning. I have a wife. I have a son. I'm not under earning. I've been solvent for a number of years, doing very well in my career. And I will tell you, two things from all that experience I just shared. One is I don't have a deep fear of being homeless because I was homeless and you all helped me develop a spiritual life. So I'm not lost in that. You know what my front edge is now? I don't believe I deserve a home. We have a house. We rent. I'll finish this last sentence. We rent and we have money and money saved. But I cannot get by that. That's why I keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your share, Dion. You are heard and you're supported. And now we're going to move on to our second question, which is, what sustained you in DA when going through struggles? What sustained you in DA when you are going through struggles? Please come on in. Sandro, please come on in.
Can I be heard? Okay, great. My name is Sandro, and I'm a grateful debtor under earner. Thank you, everyone, for your service and being here. Before I will say this, that I'm coming up on 16 years sober. I'm grateful. And I, as I journeyed in recovery in AA, I realized that there were a lot of things that I wasn't responsibly handling. So I landed in DA. And DA has really, in a very slow, steady, and very deep way, opened up my reality to this. It's a slogan: life is lifing. Life lifes. And I walked into recovery because I was maladjusted to life. I have a disease of perception. I'm powerless over debting and under-earning. I ultimately want control and I want to take over and dominate or somehow disappear. There's two different extremes that I'll vacillate between because of all the things I identified with everyone who just shared. And mostly coming from this place of like, I'm not like anybody else, especially in my family. I don't see queer people. I don't see homosexuals. I see a heteronormative dynamic. I see, female, male. It looks like this. If it doesn't look like this, it's wrong. A lot of trauma, a lot of physical abuse and other. And I didn't know how to deal with challenges. I wasn't shown. So in Debtors Anonymous, I learned to see where I was debting, obviously, and time, money, all of it, and the spiritual neglect of myself. And I'll share, recently my father
Minutes,
passed in,
Sandro.
thank you, my father passed in November. I called my sponsor, like in tears. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I do not know how to live this life without my father. Yes, you do. Because DA taught you how to do that. One action at a time. Pick up the phone, reach out. I need help. What's that next right action? And that's what I do. I've been trained in different programs, this one especially during hard times. It's been enormously hard with my family. And so I'm upping my meetings. I'm going to my programs. I'm checking in. I'm not checking out. Right? I know how much there is in my bank accounts. I have multiple. I'm almost a homeowner. Right? I might be a first-time homeowner in the next number of months. So I'm grateful because I show up. I show up for myself. Right? And therefore, God and others. So, thank you so much for showing me what it looks like.
Thank you so much for your share, Sandro. You are heard and you are supported. Richard, please come on in.
Hi, I'm Richard. I'm a debtor. I was 27 years sober in AA when I shared in a meeting how shocked I was that I'd been turned down for a loan. And somebody approached me afterwards and said, "Have you ever heard of DA?" And I hadn't. 27 years in recovery, had never heard of it. So I come into DA and I was like a duck to water. Immediately, the spirituality and the tools together put me on a different path around money. And here 7 years later, I'm prosperous. It's a miracle. No, it's not a miracle. It's the program. It's taking the program seriously. But something unanticipated happened along the way, and I think that's why I a cis white male am on this diversity panel. I came in with a clear very limited definition of what I was about, what money was about, what my place in life was about. It had worked for me professionally. I was over 70 when I came in. I hadn't had to question it. In DA, I found that unlike in AA, there were people with different kinds of problems around money, different kinds of problems around relating to the material world, to them, to self-acceptance.
1 minute, Richard.
And I began to see that I share aspects of those same issues. I broadened my conception of myself as a person in recovery. I broadened it to include incapacities rather than, yeah, I can do this and I'll fix it. You know, the dominant cultural narrative. As a result of the diversity within DA, I have become a healthier person in recovery. And I'm slowly accepting different facets of myself that I've never allowed to emerge before. And hopefully, this person is giving back to all of you. I find that most of the PRGs that I do,
That's
the
time, Richard.
sponsees, are not like me. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your share, Richard. You are heard and you're supported. Darlena, please come on in.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. When I look at this question, I came into program June 1st of 2013. So Monday will be my 13-year anniversary. And I came into the program, and DA is my first program. It's my primary program. And I came in exhausted because I'd done a lot of great things. I was disappointed in myself because I seemed to be stuck on survival. Anything outside of survival, I either felt like I didn't deserve it, or if I achieved it or I got it, that I would lose it. And so it was the community. And I remember that I would get up very early in the morning and do my stretching or journaling. And I would just turn on a meeting because I was in California. And I would attend like three meetings a day just during the day for me to stay in my lane, for me to focus on what I need to do versus what other people were doing or how they were doing, and for me to stop rescuing them. And I appreciated listening to people who had very similar experiences, because whenever I had tried to talk about it, I got my master's and I remember in counseling and school psychology, and I remember saying, I have a problem with money. There are some things that I do that are absolutely brilliant. I do the numbers in my head, and then there's times when I hesitate, and then I let opportunities pass me by, and I'm kicking myself. I'm compulsively spending, and I know it's self-destructive. And I was basically told that everybody has something, and so therefore that wasn't a big deal. Well, it was a big deal because I didn't have any serenity in my life. I didn't have any peace in my life. And in the last 7 years now, or yeah, 7 years now, I've probably started about a dozen meetings, and I have a community. I have a community of over 300 people, but I find that sometimes I need to step outside of that
1 minute,
and
Darlene.
do a 90 and 90 at new meetings so I can hear new stories and to make sure that I'm not trauma bonding with people over staying stagnant or over whatever past traumas that we have. And that has been very helpful for me to reach out to other people and connect with them. And again, to see that we're dealing with some of the same issues in a different way, but it's all the symptoms of debting. It's all recovery stuff that we're doing. And there is an inherent danger for me because I am in the business world. In terms of people outside of program not understanding why it's important for me to be debt free. I don't compare myself with other people. There's a slippery slope for me, and I just kind of stay away from that slippery slope and stay on solid ground, which is no debting. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for being a part of my recovery.
Thank you so much for your share, Darlene. You are heard and you are supported. We're moving on to our next question. What has helped you feel connected in DA? What has helped you feel connected in DA? Please come on in. Sandro, please come on in.
Can I be heard now?
Now I can hear you.
Okay, great. Okay. Tech. Thank you. Sandro, grateful debtor under earner. This, right? Showing up, doing service. You know, that's the first thing that got me out of my shell of isolation was, you know, my sponsor told me in an AA meeting, get to a meeting and do service, get a service commitment. And in that, I started talking to people. I started checking in with them, phone calls, and it's in service. And I learn more about myself when I'm with others, especially what I really don't like. And then learning about what I don't like and what doesn't work, is mostly about myself and how, again, maladjusted I am to life and people around me. So, you know, the thing that really has resonated for me over time is this thing about showing up. 78% to 80 something percent is showing up, because I do learn so much from just sitting at a meeting and listening to somebody else's experience, strength, and hope. Raising my hand and checking in and saying that, like, I don't know. Oh, sorry about that. I don't know what I'm doing. I would like to learn more. I think that's the other thing too that really helped me. And it took some time, is saying, I don't know. I don't know. Can you please help me understand? I'm scared, you know, speaking up. I think that's also become a formula, right? Throughout all of my experience in recovery, is that I or someone else is sitting there in isolation. They do say it's a disease of isolation, without talking, without sharing with someone else, without reaching out and asking for help. And then suddenly there's a conversation with someone else, and another person, another person, one person to a next, you know, one DA to another DA.
One
And
minute.
thank you. So, what else has helped me a lot? Prayer, meditation, the steps, absolutely the steps, you know, getting a sponsor. Has also, you know, sponsorship, just a plug-in for that. You know, there's tools, the DA tools, the phone, meetings, literature, step work, sponsorship, spread, you know, I don't know if spreadsheets isn't a tool, but the PRGs, pressure relief groups, and preparing for those. Again, it's all connection, because I do have a disease of isolation. I think that's it. I'll leave it at that and keep it short.
Thank you so much for your share, Sandro. You are heard and you're supported. The question is, what has helped you feel connected in DA? Dion, please come on in.
Hi there, Dion again here. wow, I couldn't agree more, as far as it being connection with other people. I didn't realize that I was such an isolator. In addition to being addicted to other people's money, trying to get it through debt and credit and borrowing, et cetera, I was, you know, I was, I tried to solve my life by staying alone, not needing anyone, not trusting anyone, not having any input from anybody, making everybody stupid in my mind, assessing that everybody's incompetent, and just looking for proof to justify all of those really self-protective assertions. But the truth is that I need people, and I didn't know it till I came here. So the things that have helped me feel connected, when you think about the tools, like, you know, they're the ones that involve others. The ones that involve others are really the money ones for me. Meetings. Obviously, other people are there. Sponsorship. I'm trusting somebody to guide me through a step-by-step way of having a spiritual awakening. Pressure relief groups. People sit with you. If you don't know what a PRG is, it's people sitting with you, talking to you about your numbers. They look at your numbers. That which I had not told anyone the truth about for decades, two people were sitting with me intimately and we were looking at them. It's a miracle. Telephone as a tool. calling somebody. I was in program both before cell phones and after. And when I got a cell phone, I realized I was starting to call people from the middle of the problem rather than after I had figured out my own way to solve it by myself. So phones are very helpful. Business meetings, oh my God, nothing better to clean out the old clock than listening to people argue with each other for 40 minutes over whether or not we're going to open a window or close a window, you know. And I used to think, oh my God, what are these people talking about? How are they going on so long about this?
1 minute, Dion.
Thank you. That's when I realized that being near people and watching them push their egos down and give over to the group, I had never really seen that modeled. My parents elected to do the isolation self-medication route. That's what I saw. God bless them. They didn't know any better. But I never saw people subdue their own egos, speak their piece on a matter that we're voting on, and then let it go if it didn't go their way, or be friendly afterwards, even. Unbelievable. Last thing I'll say is that, I called Suicide Hotline in 2004, 7 years into recovery. And it's because I wasn't telling anybody how serious the pain I was in really was. So what has made me feel the most connected is to not perform in meetings. I'm a professional performer. To not, thank you, not perform in meetings and tell people I need help. I'm in pain. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your share, Dion. You are heard and you are supported. Camilla, please come on in.
Hi everyone, I'm Camilla. Thank you so much for the shares. I'm just going to reiterate about service, and I'm going to say imperfect service. I have done all of my service imperfectly, and I've had to be pushed or pulled by God to do service because my perfectionism, like, oh, I'm not ready, I can't do it, I'm not enough. And it started with, setting up the chairs when in person meeting, and even that I messed up. And I went finally because I didn't show up for a couple meetings, and then they're giving my position away, and I was like, no, wait, I'll do it. So that's like that. And then I was speaker seeker, and I chose somebody who was still using credit cards, and I chose someone else another time who didn't show up. And it's like there's acceptance. We don't have to be in shame. It's like when the smallest step we take, God takes that and like it counts. So and anyway, I'm slow in this program. So slow. I'm not beating myself up about that, but there's patience in this program, and there's a higher power. And yeah, even treasure, like, oh no, I'd never be treasure. And then someone wanted to be co-treasure, and it's like, oh yeah, I have PayPal, so you can use that. But I'll just do that. I'll just do nothing. And then she quit, and it's like, yeah, now I have to be treasure. But I learn. I just learn. And the same with the general service rep positions, like, no, I can't. Someone said, oh, you Camilla be that, and no, I can't do that. I don't have a sponsor. And then my sponsor's like, I'll be your sponsor. Okay, thank you, God, for being patient, and you guys too. So thanks.
Thank you so much for your share, Camilla. You are heard and you're supported. Kim?
Okay, Kim, thank you so much. Still loved and accepted as I am, still making mistakes left and right, but I'm human. It's how I learn and how I grow. And my sponsor say I have to say, she said to say it before I share in any meeting. And okay, I'm a very oral person. If I sit in the meeting and I close my eyes, I can hear these voices, and it's the voices of God, group of debtors. And I like God with skin on it, you know? And so for me, one of the things is to stop lying to myself. And that has taken a really long time. And to be patient, you know, and to tell the truth. And to be brave enough to tell the truth, even when it's an uncomfortable conversation about unintended consequences, and to keep telling the truth. I needed to go to other rooms in order to, for this child that grew up in dysfunction to begin to heal. And I just want to say thank you so much. And another thing that's helped me to feel connected is the safety guidelines, because I need structure. You know, I the traditions, the concepts, the steps, those are all the structures that help me to feel comfortable. And can I put in a plug for my home groups in the parking lot? The parking lot of living your priorities is sometimes really difficult. There's crosstalk, but I'll tell you, it's a wonderful place to be about time and how do I spend my time. And that's Friday morning at 7:30. And then there's the Black and DA. Yeah, talk about feeling heard and connected and people just having your back. Yeah, pass.
Thank you so much for your share, Kim. You are heard and you are supported. We're moving on to our next question. What has been your experience of sponsorship, service, PRGs, and outreach in your recovery? Sharon, please come on in.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sharon, a compulsive debtor, which I always hate to say because I came into this program very arrogantly believing that I really didn't have problems other than I owed money to credit cards, to banks, and I really lacked humility and a sense of reality about who I was, who I am. And I signed up ultimately to be a GSR, basically because I thought it was going to be an easy service. And I didn't really know what it was. I didn't know that much about DA. I'd never read the DAMS. I barely looked on the website, but I was solvent and I had had a sponsor and I had done finally two PRGs. And I must say that being a general service rep just opened my eyes beyond anything I could have imagined because it's 4.5 days of business meetings, basically. I mean, my idea of a nightmare. And I learned so much from that and became so aware of how judgmental I am because I came into DA very late. I was already retired, I was 70, and I really thought I knew all the answers, but I had spent too much money. So once I fixed that, then I would be fine and I could leave DA and I didn't need to look back. And I've learned in DA that it's once the money is taken care of and you're solvent, that's when the hard part began for me. Because all of a sudden I realized, oh, I'm not as perfect as I think I am because I arrogantly thought I didn't have very many problems because my world was a very narrow world and a very controlled world where I did what was safe always and didn't have a lot of, you know, I don't even think I've had a lot of trauma in my life. I've had an easy way to go, but I am so blinded by
One
my
minute, Sharon.
thanks, Ava. I stay in DA because I've learned so much about myself. Things that I don't really want to look at. And being on this UUOC committee has been an eye-opener for me because we have had lots of uncomfortable conversations that I don't usually have with people, normal people. I tiptoe around things because I hate confrontation. So I am so grateful for having stumbled into DA and I will be here for a long time. And I said to my sponsor when someone asked me to do a PRG for them. I said, I can't do a PRG. I don't know the first thing about DA and what's going on. He said, it's not like you're teaching them. You're sitting there and listening and you're telling them what helped you. It's not a question of giving advice because I realized I had never been in a democratic organization before. So thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for your share, Sharon. You are heard and you are supported. Darlena, please.
Yes, I wanted to answer that question because I think my experiences have varied in this program, and I think that I would be remiss if I didn't share that. And 6 years ago, August 1st, I started, Black and DA. And when I started, that was right after the George Floyd murder. I had gotten out of debt. I'd paid $80,000 worth of school, student loans off. And I knew that I was in the hard part. because my whole life had been getting in debt and out of debt, in debt and out of debt. And I knew that if I didn't have support, if I wasn't able to come to meetings and be authentic and actually be able to share what was going on in my life, that I would get resentful and I'd be back in debt again within a year. And that was so helpful for me in terms of me being able to share what my experiences were, me being able to go to the bank and open a business account, and then being told that I had to go find the president of the board and get a wet signature when all of these other people would come in and they would open accounts and they wouldn't need that. They would just have to have a board meeting. And the tellers that would try to hold the business checks when I needed to make payroll. I had 32 employees. No, you cannot hold this government check. I mean, if the government is going bankrupt, then we really got a problem. People need to be paid. They have families. They need to be fed. And so this constant kind of pushing against that. And I remember, right before Christmas, it was December the 10th. They told me that they forgot to process the payroll and that it would be sometimes in January. And I just said, there's no way that I am going to people who have children and families, thank you, and saying to them, you don't have any money for Christmas. I'm just not doing it. I can't do that. And getting a lawyer and going in there and fighting that battle and being able to come out of those things and talking with people to say, you have been heard, you are supported, you are not making this up, this is not your imagination, we are not going to gaslight you. And with that, I was able to navigate those seas. And I was able to thrive, survive, and to move forward. And so I try to give as much as I can in terms of to other people, whether it's a newcomer, PRG, during service in the meeting, I step up and step in because I see how people step up and step in for me. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for being a part of my recovery.
Thank you so much for your share, Darlena. You are heard and you are supported. Richard, please come on in.
Hi, I'm Richard. I'm a debtor. When I came in, I thought my problem was all on the grandiosity side, a tendency to splash out more money than I had coming in. And I justified it saying, oh, it'll be here in a few months' time. I'm just getting a bit ahead of myself. And yeah, that was a problem. And all of you in DA helped me to solve it. What puzzled me was you didn't have exactly the same problem I had. A lot of you expressed having lives that were uncomfortably small for you and having to learn to grow your life. And I began to see, oh, I do that too. There are ways that I haven't examined that my life is too small. And listening to you, working with you, I began to grow it at the same time as I got the grandiosity under control. But it's not under my control, it's under my higher power's control. I'm like a guy who's riding a bicycle who doesn't have an inner ear that works right. I don't have balance. I have to look at someone else to see whether I'm in balance or not. My spending plan helps me. You help me. The readings, prayer, meditation. I got to do this every day. But what I've found that is really helpful to me is that the people who want to work with me tend not to be like me. And that allows me,
1 minute left, Richard.
thank you, that allows me to learn about things that I didn't necessarily want to learn. That's how I grow. I grow by not being the same old me. And all of you, this wonderful mosaic of people, give me all the colors of existence. And I can grow into that. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your share, Richard. You are heard and you are supported. We're going to move on to our final question. What helps you feel safer or less safe in DA meetings with sponsors or pressure relief meetings? Please come on in. Sandro, please come on in.
Hi there. My name is Sandra and I'm a debtor under earner. Has not changed since the last time. Thank you all for your service again and all the shares. Really, everything has resonated with me a lot and deeply, and that's why I keep coming, especially the part about being teachable and continuing to be teachable and learning from others. And I think that's the part that really scares me a lot sometimes, is that I'll go to meetings and I do hear people chiming in or jumping in and doing service and not with or coming from a place of recovery. And I think that this is the part that I hope it comes across. That's okay. That's okay. Because the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop debting compulsively. And so for me, what makes me feel unsafe at times is intolerance. And I come to program, and I didn't learn this automatically. Like, I had to get a sponsor. I had to do step work. I had to look at myself, like many of us have just shared about. And I also had to sit in rooms with people that were extremely opposite of me and not attack them, not kick them out of meetings, not gossip about them or criticize them, but call my sponsor when I'm on a committee meeting or a business meeting and say, I'm out of here. People are crazy. People need to go to other meetings and have whatever recovery that I have, because I'm on a spiritual hilltop and I know what it's like. Wow. 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 That really hurts. It hurts also because as an LGBTQIA identified human being, I identify with humans, right? And being human, it's just like when I say to a friend who's screaming or yelling or shouting at someone in their face because they don't call them the right pronoun, I'm like, really? I would rather call you another name myself. And it's not a very nice one because of the way you're treating this person, because they forgot or they didn't remember, because they're also adjusting to something that's new. It's all new. And that's the hardest part, is I had to keep coming back to learn that I am a human who makes a lot of mistakes, and I didn't think it was okay. I absolutely didn't, especially around money. And I felt a lot of shame. So I just think that that's one of the biggest things for me, is like the compassion, the patience, and the gentleness of like, we are all here because I've heard people identify as a debtor and an under earner. So I'm here too. So thank you.
Thank you so much for your share, Sandro. You are heard and you are supported. Richard, please come on in.
Hi, I'm Richard. I'm a debtor. I love what I'm hearing about compassion. I finally, at like age 78, realized what I wanted to be when I grew up. And that's a kind person. That's all. Just a kind person. And it starts with myself. The question about, you know, sponsors and PRGs triggered an answer in my head. And that is, the most astonishing thing that's happened to me, and it's happened over and over with those folks, is that they say, Richard, you're being too hard on yourself. Oh, right. Okay. I mean, that's just my default setting. And if I'm too hard on me, I'm too hard on you, in my mind at least. I mean, I'm too polite to say anything most of the time, but I gotta chillax and accept myself. Yeah, my youngest daughter taught me chillax. Self-acceptance is, I mean, if my higher power can love me unreservedly, why can't I? If my higher power can love you unreservedly, why can't I? I can, and I will. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your share, Richard. You are heard and you are supported. Dion, please close us out here.
Okay, great. I'll just tell a couple little vignettes about getting a sponsor and things that have happened by having a sponsor and working with one. When I've, you know, having been abused in one-on-one situations, I was like, I never want to be in a one-on-one situation with someone. I don't want to be in a situation where some person, there's nobody around, and this person's going to like have power over me and they're going to know my secret. I had no belief in that kind of a system in the beginning. I was scared of it. I had been injured by such dynamics. So I thought, you know, I mean, I knew I had been hurt, but I thought it was going to happen again. And I thought that being alone with someone or letting someone in meant you were going to get injured by them. And in some cases it does, you know, but not in the same ways. And I don't live in that house. And those things happened years ago, et cetera. But I was still gun shy and resistant. So I remember getting on my knees in 1997. And I said, look, whatever it is that is stopping me, I don't know what I was praying to, but I heard everybody talking about go to your knees, you know, talk, pray on your knees, which I had never tried. I scoffed at it, but I was like, let me try it. I said, can you please just like remove whatever's in the way of me getting a sponsor? And I went up to a guy at a meeting 2 days later, and he was funny, like he had insights into the big book, and I liked what he was saying. And I went up to him like this after the meeting. I said, you know, something, like this, sponsor, sponsor. And he was like, are you asking me to be your sponsor? I'm like, well, if you want to, I mean, I don't know, it's up to you, you know. That was the best I could muster, okay, in terms of humbly ask. I had no humbly ask in me at that time. But this guy helped me, and he passed away a few years ago. And
1 minute, Dion.
thank you so much. And I, you know, knew him off and on, you know, over the course of those decades. And he really helped me. Another time, I was turning over step work to a DA sponsor in New York City. And I had written out, as you do in your fourth step, I wrote out a big resentment I had. It was my stepfather, my adoptive father, owes me $450,000 for my having been the emotional husband to my mother. You know, I was figuring all this stuff out in therapy and whatever in meetings. And I had a number written next. So he sits down with me. He looks at the number, $450,000 owes me, my emotional husband to my mother. And he asked me the 8 or 9 words that changed my life in DA. He goes, do you think he's coming with that money? And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, but do you just said that? I was unconsciously thinking that all my old debts, thank you, I'll just wrap up with this, would be paid. And by having a person sit across from me in a sponsorship relationship, they can move you a quarter of an inch and have you see something completely differently. You can't do it by yourself. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your share, Dion. You are heard and you are supported. We are coming to the close of our time together. Thank you to our speakers, our technical volunteers, and each of you for being here. As the convention continues, here is a reminder of the seventh tradition to support this gathering and Debtors Anonymous's message of recovery. Please visit debtorsanonymous.org/contribute. Please join me in a moment of silence for those still suffering, followed by the we version of the Serenity Prayer. God,
God, grant
grant us the
serenity
Accept the things, things we cannot change.
Courage, the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done.